Good morning, church. Today's Bible reading is from Matthew 13, 31 to 35. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world.
Good morning, everyone. It is lovely, lovely to see you. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit in us. I thank you for the provision you've given salvation, Lord. And I thank you that we can be here today, Lord. And I pray that you guide my words as I speak, Lord, that you open our hearts to hear your word, to be encouraged. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you're all feeling well today. I'm feeling okay. However, to be honest, I'm a little bit sad. Just a little bit. You see, October is a very special month. Also because we have International Night. But it's a very special month. And I don't think many people know just how special it is. And that's what makes me sad. It makes me sad because I reckon that everyone should celebrate this month along with me every single year. Now, does anyone know why October is a special month?
I met Mary.
What was that? Oh, you met Mary. That is indeed a special month. Well, that's not what I was thinking about, but that was close. The reason it's a special month is because October is National Pizza Month. Serious. National Pizza Month. Since 1984, this has been an annual observance, and devotees are supposed to go around visiting different pizzerias and eat pizza. Now, to be honest, that's something that they hold to in the United States and Canada, but seriously, wouldn't that be good to start that here in Australia? He's with me. Now, I'm actually going to shock you here. I mean, Jason's not the only one who can shock you. Today, I will shock you too. What I'm about to say next. Now, did you know that pizza did not originate from the US? I know, right? It's shocking. I mean, Domino's, isn't that American? And Pizza Hut. What about Pizza Hut? My dear friends, I'm sorry to tell you. Those pizzas are not real pizzas. They're counterfeit and they're real bad copies at that. All right? The pizza actually originated in Naples, in Italy. And to protect and promote the true Neapolitan pizza, the True Neapolitan Pizza Association was actually formed in Naples in 1984. Can you believe that? In fact, in 2009, the Neapolitan pizza was safeguarded in the European Union as a traditional speciality guaranteed dish. You'll never look at pizza the same again, will you? Now, if anyone knows me well, and Steph especially, because we've had this conversation many times, when it comes to pizza, my opinion is you don't mess with the original. You don't change it. You simply don't put any toppings on the pizza that are not genuinely original, authentic Italian ingredients. So as much as I love feta cheese, Steph, it does not belong on pizza. I'm sorry. Pineapple? No. Okay? No pineapple pizza. Chicken, sorry, no chicken. And for all those people who love bacon, sorry, it doesn't belong on pizza. The authentic Neapolitan pizza is quite simple. It's the colours of the Italian flag, red, white and green. It's got San Marzano tomatoes grown on the volcanic plains south of Mount Vesuvius. Buffalo mozzarella made with milk from water buffalo raised in the marshlands of Campania and Basil. Simple. And that, my friends, is an authentic Italian pizza. Now, I'm not going to be completely unreasonable. I know there are grey areas. I will tolerate other toppings. I mean, I'm not the judge and jury, but in my mind, I will tolerate other toppings and still, you know, call the pizza Italian. For instance, eggplant. Okay, that's okay. Eggplant's okay. Roasted capsicum, yep, not a problem. Mushroom, you know, artichokes, olives, yeah, they're good. And for all you bacon lovers out there, I will tolerate, you know, prosciutto or maybe even pepperoni. And I'll still call it Italian. But there was this time, a little while ago, I was actually left stunned. I was left stunned. There I was, minding my own business, getting my groceries, and I walked past a bakery, which shall remain unnamed, but let me tell you, it was no delight. And there, I saw a pizza that had mustard on it. Mustard on a pizza. I was flabbergasted. Everything in my mind screamed out, "This is not pizza." And this troubled me for so long. Oh, how far we have fallen from our great heights. But you know, it actually dawned on me more recently. And the only thing that I could reconcile in myself that made sense about this blip in the universe, the only thing that could calm that torment inside of me, and what I simply had to tell myself, whether it was true or not, was that the owner of this bakery must have been trying to tell people something. They must have been trying to tell people about the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. You see, you need yeast to make a pizza, and then they added mustard to it. With this combination, they must have been referring to Jesus' teachings. They must have been trying to tell me about Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 to 35. Or they simply could have been trying to make a hot dog flavored pizza. No, that's not it. All right, that's not it. Anyway, let's move on from the pizzas. You see, in what we read earlier, what Sarah read earlier, Jesus uses the example of a mustard seed and of yeast to reveal something about the kingdom of heaven. And I honestly hope that now, whenever you see a pizza or you use mustard, you're going to remember his teachings. I really hope that. See a pizza? Think of Jesus. I was hoping for an amen. No amen. Anyway, now before I actually continue, I do want to quickly clarify something for everyone who is not familiar with the term, what the kingdom of heaven, or what the kingdom of heaven and what that refers to. Now, to briefly summarize, the kingdom of heaven refers to the reign or the rule of God in our life. It means that we've placed Jesus as our king and that we live out our lives in our community following Jesus' lead. We follow his teachings, his commandments, and his example. And this is what the kingdom of heaven refers to, the reign of God in our lives. And that doesn't refer to us only as individuals, but also collectively as a church of Jesus Christ. Now this morning, I actually want to show you how the kingdom of heaven is alive and is active and is heading for glory, and how we all can play our part as it grows. So let's actually see what Jesus has to say about the kingdom. Now, first of all, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven has small beginnings. It starts small. The kingdom of heaven has small beginnings. Now, hang on a second, you might be saying. Isn't our God a big God? Isn't our God great? Well, yes, absolutely, and without a doubt. But what did Jesus actually say about the kingdom of heaven? Let's have a read of it. In verse 31, we read that Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed." And then further on it goes, though it is the smallest of all seeds. Now you see, our God is big and our God is great, absolutely. And there is no way in the world that I'm denying that. And please don't anyone confuse me as saying that God is small. That's not what I'm saying. But here, Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven using a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, as an illustration. Let's take a side note for a sec. For all you gardeners out there who are possibly freaking out, we know that the mustard seed is not actually the smallest seed that there is. Now here, Jesus is using hyperbole. It's an obvious, it's an intentional exaggeration. He uses an extravagant figure of speech that's not to be taken literally, but it's designed to illustrate a point. It's kind of like the hyperbole I was using when I was talking about my torment with mustard pizza. I'm hoping everyone knows that wasn't actually true. I'm hoping, right? So just to clear this up now, no, with regard to the seed, Jesus wasn't lying. No, he didn't get it wrong. Jesus was just using hyperbole and an illustration of the mustard seed, which actually was quite a common illustration to illustrate things that were small back in those times in that region. So here Jesus is using something that is tiny to illustrate what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's telling his disciples that the reign of God in their lives, in their world, has small beginnings. It wasn't at all the big fanfare that the Jews were anticipating would precede the coming of their Messiah. It wasn't at all the geopolitical overthrow of the Roman Empire that many of the Jews expected God to bring. No, it actually started with the birth of a baby in a smelly, dirty manger. And the announcement of this was to a group of shepherds watching their sheep in a field. And even then, for 30 years, nothing amazing happened. And yet, the kingdom of heaven had come to earth. Now, even at this stage, when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he's starting to gather followers. His miracles have begun to garner attention, but he'll still look down upon and considered a blasphemer by the priests, the religious leaders, and the teachers of the law. And as far as the Romans go, he was barely noticed. I mean, the center of power and authority back then was Rome, Italy. Not in some tiny nation on, you know, the skirts and the boundaries of the Roman Empire. But despite all of this, despite the lack of that big fanfare, despite the lack of a huge event, even though it was still very small, Jesus was trying to teach his disciples something. He wanted them to know that the kingdom of heaven had come and was here. And they needed to understand exactly what that meant with all its implications. Now, I mean, we're kind of used to noticing big things, aren't we? We want a big TV, we like a big couch, we love a big kitchen, and we love a big steak. We like a big bed, a big bedroom, a big car, a big garage. We love a big house. And then we end up with a big mortgage and we end up with a big headache. We usually tend to notice the big things, but we easily overlook the small things in life. So I decided, in order not to overlook the smaller things in life, I actually decided to go out and buy some mustard seeds. So I went to Woolies. These are mustard seeds. I just wanted to get an idea of how small they are. I'll open some here now. Have you seen a mustard seed before, Chris? Here, catch. Where'd it go? Can you find it? Here. So you're feeling it, but you're not seeing it. But the point is, they're pretty small. I don't know. I can't even, yeah, well, I don't know if you can get that. In my hand, just there. Okay, oh, yeah, there you go. It looks like a little pimple or something on my hand. Anyway, they're small. In fact, they're really small. I reckon I could probably scatter this whole packet in different places throughout the church and no one would ever notice. Don't worry, I won't do it. Maybe I should plant it in the garden. We'll end up with a tree. No, my point is the mustard seeds are so easy to simply not see, let alone notice when there's all this other stuff around. Okay? Now, last week, Pastor Matt mentioned about the weeds being the evil that exists around us. Now, I think that sometimes all we see is the hurt, the brokenness, the injustice, the discord, the ugliness, and the emptiness that exists in the world around us. And as a result, our focus on the kingdom of heaven, like that mustard seed that Chris couldn't find, seems to fade in the background and just disappear. And we might wonder if what we're doing as we're following Jesus is making any difference at all. Now, can I encourage us all this morning that if we allow Jesus to reign as our King, then the kingdom of heaven is very much alive and real in our lives. Even though we may not necessarily see the immediate result of our efforts, that shouldn't discourage us from building into the kingdom. The very little that we can do, just the smallest thing that we can offer will make an impact. And often it can start with something as simple as offering a glass of water to someone who's thirsty. So whatever way the kingdom of heaven is shaping our lives, and perhaps that's to bring beauty into our community by, I don't know, planting beautiful gardens or creating beautiful works of art or composing beautiful music that reflects the beauty of God. Or maybe God is speaking to our hearts and guiding us perhaps to go to people who are suffering, hurt, people who are confused, and bring harmony and comfort and healing that has the fragrance of the nurture and love of God. Or on whatever path God is leading us, perhaps to feed the hungry, stand for justice or fight against poverty, and thus demonstrate God's care for people. Or however God is prompting us, perhaps to reach out to people who have no hope and tell them about the hope we have in Jesus that leads to eternal life. And in doing so, we speak of God's provision to bring all his creation home. Whatever it is that we're doing by allowing the reign of God in our lives, let's continue to invest our efforts knowing that the little we may be doing is in fact the seed of the kingdom of heaven that God is planting through us. Possibly not easily noticed, possibly not even or easily seen, but very definitely real. And God will cause that seed to grow. And that brings me to my next point. The kingdom of heaven is growing and is great. The kingdom of heaven will grow. It is growing and is great. Now, how can we be sure of that? Well, because in verses 31 and 32, Jesus actually says so. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in its field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." And then on verse 33, he goes on to say, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour." Imagine that, that's roughly 30 kilos. "Mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough." Now, Jesus here is again using hyperbole about the description of the mustard plant. And he assures us that the kingdom of heaven will grow. Now, the mustard plant grows more like a bush than a tree. However, it is true that in Israel and around that region, it can grow to about 3, even 3.5 meters tall. So Jesus is trying to highlight how something that starts off so tiny grows so big in comparison. And he uses this to describe the manner in which the kingdom of heaven will grow. Now, as I mentioned earlier, although the kingdom of heaven had small beginnings, God will grow his kingdom into something so big and so great, and something which is able to host many, many people, which is alluded to by the birds perching in all the branches. And then the illustration Jesus uses of yeast speaks of how the kingdom of heaven, although starting with a small amount, infiltrates through everything it comes into contact with, how it duplicates and transforms and continues growing with no end until it's reached every part. Now, I'm guessing most of you have tried baking at some stage. I went through my own baking phase recently where I attempted making sourdough bread. I start with the easy ones first. Anyway, this became a hobby for a season. Now, I say attempted because anyone who was unlucky enough to taste some of the bread knew that I've got a long way to go. But one thing which I quickly learned is critical to making sourdough is that you need yeast. And it needs to work through the dough. It needs to sit and it needs to grow for hours. The first time I mixed the dough and added the yeast, I initially just sat and watched to see what was happening. Now, I'm actually not sure what I expected would happen. But anyway, nothing seemed to be happening, so I realized it wasn't until I came back hours and hours later that I saw it had doubled in size. Now, yeast is actually really, really interesting. I'm going to take you back to school for a little bit here, so forgive me for the science lesson. Yeasts are single-celled microorganisms classified as members of the fungus kingdom. That's right. When you eat anything with yeast, you're eating a fungus-filled treat. I hope I don't turn you off. Now, here's a picture of what yeast looks like. Beautiful, huh? We'll just leave that there for a little bit. So with proper warmth, moisture, and food, the walls of the yeast cell bulges. So you can see that one that's bulging there, roughly in the middle left. It bulges and separates from the parent cell and becomes its own cell. Now those little yellowish blotches, that's where the cell have separated and left the stem. Now, you can take it down now if you like. But now as the way yeast works is as it consumes the sugar, it excretes carbon dioxide and alcohol as byproducts. In bread, yeast does three main things. It helps the bread to grow. It helps to develop gluten, which actually strengthens the dough and makes it more elastic. And it also contributes to the flavor. Now, this all happens at a microscopic level. So although it seems like nothing is happening, there's actually a lot going on. This is where the science lesson ends. What I'm trying to say with this lesson in yeast is, are you starting to get a bit of a picture of how the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that works through dough? It grows, it strengthens, it flavors. Now let's try and apply that thought to ourselves as God's people, as a church, as people who are part of the kingdom of heaven. As we allow the reign of God into our lives, as we walk daily with Jesus, as we seek to bring God's beauty and justice and wholeness and harmony and hope and reconciliation and peace and love to our neighborhood, to our families, to our friends, let's remember that we have the assurance that God is working through us to grow his kingdom in ways greater than we can ever imagine. And all those small daily expressions of God's love and beauty and justice and hope that we share, well, they become contagious and they eventually infiltrate through our whole community. As the kingdom of heaven grows, God strengthens us. He binds us and unites us together as his people from all over the world. As we see here, from every nationality and all ethnic backgrounds. And this is the very thing that Jesus is talking about in verse 35 when he says, I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. And it's what the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 3 of Ephesians when he says that the mystery which has now been revealed is God's salvation for Jews and Gentiles. That is, the kingdom of heaven is for people of all races, of all ethnicities. This is the yeast that spreads through the whole batch. God's kingdom will spread through the whole world. And he uses you and I to spread this great news. He uses you and I to bring an irresistible God flavor back into our societies. And we can be assured that whatever part we play in God's kingdom, he will cause it to grow. And this is how God works. I mean, there's a pattern in scripture. There's a pattern in history. God works through something small with humble origins, and it grows into something great. I mean, consider Moses. He's running and hiding in the desert for 40 years until the reign of God broke into his life and he became the prophet through whom all of Israel was liberated. Consider David, the youngest of all his brothers, the least in his family, and not considered to become anything great. And then the reign of God broke through and he became the greatest king Israel ever had. Consider William Carey, although facing an unwillingness and a resistance against going on missions, he persisted. And then the reign of God broke through and he brought the gospel to India, opened universities, and he translated the Bible into Bengali, Oriya, Assamese, Arabic, Hindi, and Sanskrit, six languages. Consider Martin Luther King facing extreme opposition, suffering from depression for much of his life. But the reign of God broke through and brought about the advancement of African American civil rights in the United States. Consider the father or the mother struggling through the hardships, pressures, and stresses of life, who, living under the reign of God, dedicates themselves to bringing up their children with the love of Jesus and creates a legacy that will last for generations to come. Consider the employee who, although tired and worn out, when living under the reign of God, works for the employer as though serving God and leaves a lasting impression on the culture of that company for years to come. Consider the resident of Sydney who, living under the reign of God, begins to share the good news about Jesus and changes the city one person at a time. Or consider the member of Parkside Church who invites their friend to International Night to have the reign of God break through in their lives and angels rejoicing as they join the eternal family of God. Consider Jesus, born in a manger, persecuted, beaten, mocked and spat upon, rejected and despised, crucified. And then bringing the power of the kingdom of God, rising from the grave on the third day, bringing hope and salvation to all nations, completely changing the world forever, and soon to return to permanently establish his kingdom in glory and power. And Jesus has called us into his kingdom to make him our king, to follow him. Now, my question for us all today is, in this kingdom, what part will we choose to play? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you give us the confidence to move forward, to do those little things, to work in your kingdom, understanding that it is you who has planted that seed. It is you who will cause that seed to grow. And it is you, Father, who will bring about your kingdom in glory, Lord, in a way that will change the earth, restore lives, and give hope once again. Pray that you work through all of us. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.